We're going to talk to a lady that we've spoken to on a number of occasions, because around now is when we get, I think, we're going to find out that sometime around now is when we're at greater risk of the fruit flies. Now, we need to keep Victoria, and particularly the Yarra Valley, clear of fruit fly, because the devastation to the crops and the grapes and all sorts of fruit are just horrific. So, welcome, Bronwyn.
Thanks for having me along, Alan.
Not a problem. Always great to have you along. Am I right? Are we just coming into the what you would classify as a fruit fly period, or are we right into it now?
The Queensland fruit fly is more prolific as the temperatures warm up.
Yep.
So we make sure that we've got our fruit fly surveillance traps ready for September 1. Hail, rain or shine.
Right, yep.
And from there on, we hope that we will be the early detectors.
Yep.
And that we will pick up the first fruit flies around and we'll be able to react quickly and minimally. So I don't expect to see anything before Christmas. Right. But, yeah, fingers crossed, and this polar blast that's coming might give me another couple of weeks.
So you were just saying, I haven't seen that. So there's a polar blast coming in. When is that due to hit?
I just read it on the socials this morning, but I think we're in for a wet week.
Are we?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm getting... Well, I mean, I was going to say I'm getting a bit sick of the rain, and I am a bit, but in parts of Victoria, they're still in drought.
I think they're referring to green drought. So it's not...
What's a green drought?
A green drought is when there's just not enough rain to make things grow,
right,
but it's not dry enough to burn it off and go brown. So it's deceptive.
Oh, right.
And there's parts of New South Wales that are actually in drought. There's parts of southwest Victoria that are in this green drought. And yet there's other parts of Victoria with above ordinary rainfall. So I know my husband in the nursery game, he's trying to plant trees this week, but he doesn't want to touch the soil. It's too wet just now.
Oh, right. All right. So You said the traps and that are out on the 1st of September. Have you found anything, any fruit fly activity yet?
No, we haven't found fruit fly activity yet. I do encourage residential gardeners to get their fruit fly traps out themselves.
Yep.
Because the more traps we have across the whole of the region,
yep,
it's much easier to catch that first fruit fly.
Yep. So If it's going to be cold or colder in this next week,
yeah, we probably won't find
anything
this week. No.
So was it just a throwaway line when you said probably not until Christmas, or if it picks up in November?
Traditionally, we haven't seen it before Christmas.
Right.
Now that means that we haven't found it before Christmas.
Doesn't mean it's not here. Does it?
It was here. It was here. We just didn't find it.
It
was elusive.
Yep.
So when the populations of fruit fly are really, really low, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Yep.
But it must have come from somewhere.
Yep.
So it's either imported into our region by hiding inside some fruit.
Other fruit, yep.
Or it could be in your caravan or your luggage if you've been in a fruit fly area and you just didn't see it.
Yep.
But it's most likely carried into the region inside of fruit.
Because we don't have inspections at the borders we used to, do we?
No, it's an honesty system.
Yep.
And the other way it can be in the Yarra Valley is if it was in the Yarra Valley in your location last year in high numbers.
Yep.
They've got a very clever system of trying to stay alive in a warm, dry place as adult flies over the winter.
So how do they do that? Like when we get down to 0 and 1 degree, how do they live through that?
They'll find somewhere there it's warmer than that. Just like we would if we were lost in the bush. They'll go and find chook houses, sheds. They'll look for crevices in bark, in trees, and stay warm. And their body system shuts down as well in that cooler temperature. So they're not using the energy. They're conserving it.
Yeah.
And if it warms up, they come out and forage for a little bit of food, and then they go back to their hidey house. They can outlast a 3 or 4 month winter easily.
Can they?
Yep.
So, just, we won't get into the technicalities too much, but, like, what's the average lifespan of a fruit fly?
One in the wild, a couple of months.
Yep.
In captivity, AgVic have kept them for over 12 months for the research.
Have they?
So it all depends on the conditions. If you had a hot 42, 43 degree day,
yep,
that can knock a few off. because their wings crisp up and dry out and they die. Or if you have some severe frosts, you know, 4 or 5 frosts in a row, minus 3 degrees or below, that knocks a few off as well. So it all depends on how kind our weather is to the fruit fly and how clever they are finding a hidey hole.
So it doesn't, like, it's not one of those things that if you get a whole lot of 1 degrees, it wipes them all out, or it's not a, if you get, say, 41 or 42, it's not going to kill them all, though. It'll only be certain ones. So it doesn't get rid of...
A percentage of the population.
Yep.
And then those that are remaining are the strong ones.
Yeah.
And so they breed, and it just makes their species stronger again.
Well, I was just going to say that would be your next problem, wouldn't it? That as the stronger ones breed... Then they're going to have a stronger family life.
That's how we all roll. That's how we advance our own genetics too.
Just got to take a quick break, Bronwyn, and we're going to come back and talk more about it.
Your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you, we will rock you. Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
All right.
I'm talking to Bronwyn, and we're talking about the Queensland fruit fly and how we're going to try and keep it out of the Yarra Valley. And I know Bronwyn's been doing it for a number of years, telling everybody how they can protect themselves, or best to protect themselves, I guess. Bronwyn, over those 7 years, have you noticed there's been an increase in or a decrease in the amount of fruit fly? Because we do get some fruit fly, whether we like it or not, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So we had a good year when we started, so no fruit fly.
Yep.
And we had the Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free campaign, and we had some trade going off to some fruit fly free states, which was quite good for all of our fruit markets.
Yep.
And then we got fruit fly in February of 2018.
Right.
And that year we went on to have 8 detections. It's like, okay.
When you say 8 detections, that's not necessarily 8 flies, though, is it?
That was 8 flies.
Eight flies
in 8 separate traps, 8 separate locations throughout the Yarra Valley.
Yep.
And it was concerning, and we worked with all of the people around all of those sites, and we had some great results where even some of those places are still fruit fly free today because of the community working together in those spots.
Yep.
But last year we had 87 detections.
And is that 87 flies or 87 sites?
That's 87 detections, but some of them were on multiple sites. It was about 40 sites.
Right.
And even on some of those sites, it wasn't just detecting a fly in a trap. It was actually finding the larvae in the fruit, which means that they're breeding.
They're there, yeah.
So that's why it's most concerning. Like, everyone's like, oh, my God, 90 flies. I'm like, well, that's 90 that we've stopped.
Yep.
Like, that's a good thing.
But
in other regions where there's no fruit fly coordinator, that could have that could have gone skyrocketing to thousands.
Right.
And you could have had a large number of commercial businesses done for.
Yep.
Because the recovery is just so expensive. Like, you've got loss of production, loss of sale, then you've got the cost of getting rid of all of that fruit, and then you've got the cost of your integrated pest management program to successfully grow again. And it's a long recovery period if you look on a commercial sense.
All right, so out of the ones that you're finding, are you finding more in the commercial enterprises? And we're not having a go at the growers here because they're doing their best to get rid of it. Or is the biggest problem in home gardens?
It's a split, and it's a bit skewed because I have more traps in commercial enterprise.
Right.
Because they're more sensitive,
yep,
and obviously more to lose, so we look harder.
Yep.
But the big concern is there's some blackberries in Lilida down the back at Nelson Road.
Yep.
There's a huge problem with weed blackberries because in February they fruit.
And so we talk, hang on, I just want to, before we just go on, I just want to get this right. So, but we're talking about growing wild here, aren't
yeah,
we?
Which wild blackberries.
On the side of the road or
side
in paddocks
road,
and that.
Creeks, paddocks,
yep,
unmaintained paddocks, even on properties in Sylvan, there's blackberries.
Yep.
That are wild and
yep,
they're weeds. We have to look after them and we all have to do our bit because in February, late January, February, they're fruiting. That blackberry fruiting body is enough to host Queensland fruit fly larvae.
Yep.
And the birds can't eat everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I notice. So all of the places I go to,
yep,
I can look around. 9 times out of 10, I'll see a lemon tree that hasn't been picked.
Yep.
And, you know, fruit's still there at Christmas or January and it should have been picked in October the year
yep
before.
Because people often just grow a lemon tree in their backyard, don't they?
Yeah.
And
I do.
And you don't need 30 lemons at once, do you? They
no,
only go get one at a time.
I think you need to use 30 lemons at once because we grow lemons very well in the Yarra Valley. It's one giant lemon orchard.
Yep.
But lemons and blackberries. Blackberry weeds are a huge risk. Like, a lot of people have a plum tree or a fruit tree and they
yep
usually look after it.
Yep.
It's what we don't look after that is the huge problem for fruit fly because that's where the life cycle can complete itself in about 30 days.
Yeah.
And
all right, so apart from the blackberries that you're talking about on the side of the road and that, is there any other weed or what you would call just running wild that people should be keeping an eye on too?
Blackberry's the main one and it's not just the side of the road. There's people's paddocks with blackberry in it.
Yep.
And that is it's a fire risk, it's a pest and disease risk, it is a weed and it should be managed and removed anyway.
Yep.
And it's not good for our biodiversity of our land. So
yep,
blackberry's number one.
Because I think you'll find I remember my son had a property up in the top of, somewhere up in Mount Daniel and he had blackberries just running wild too.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're hard to get rid of because they keep coming back.
Yeah, keep coming back all the time.
Time and money it takes, and
yep,
we don't. A lot of us don't have money, and a lot of us don't have time.
No. Yep.
Plum trees and apple trees on the sides of the roads and fence lines, like
yep
paddock fence lines, is where the birds sit and poop out the seeds.
Yeah.
So
yep
that's often they fruit.
Yep.
Ornamental pear trees in main streets, they're terrible because they can host the fruit fly. From a wild point of view, there's a tree called wild tobacco and it's got a yellow fruit on it. That's often a problem. But usually the ones at the start of the season is a locust tree. So if you have a locust tree in your backyard
right
and there's fruit fly around and the pregnant female is looking for somewhere to go even as early as November,
right,
I'd pick a locust tree. They're a problem up north and I can't imagine why they're not a problem down here. And the only thing protecting us in this time of the year
yep
is that fruit fly breed at 15 degrees or warmer at sunset.
Yep.
It's a very romantic
yeah
breeding ritual. But
yep
if we don't have those 15 degree evenings,
yep
we get less fruit fly. But mm when we do have those 15 degree evenings, I reckon locusts, lemons, and then even going into Christmas, apricots we have to watch. And if we can watch those, we can reduce the problem for the rest of the season.
That's right. Out of all those, is there one particular tree that's the worst?
Fruit fly loves stone fruit.
Any stone fruit?
Yeah, that's their favourite.
Oh.
They love stone fruit.
So I've got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what people can do to keep an eye out and also what they can do to try and protect themselves.
Cool.
Welcome back, and we were talking to Bronwyn, and we're talking about the fruit fly or the Queensland fruit fly, and we're trying best, or I can't guarantee we'll get rid of them all, but we'd like to keep the numbers way down to almost zero. Bronwyn, first thing is, I'm a home gardener, we'll say. I've got a couple of fruit trees. What have I got to keep a lookout for? What's the first sign I'm going to see if I've got a fruit fly?
I think the first sign is if your neighbours get fruit fly or some people up the road get it.
Yeah.
You hope that they get it first. Yeah. So you don't get it, but you know about it.
But let's go back one stage.
You need a fruit fly trap.
Is that the only way I'm going to know? So everybody should have a fruit fly trap?
Everyone should have a fruit fly trap.
Yep.
And if people see something in their fruit fly trap that they think it's fruit fly, they can go onto the Agribusiness Yarra Valley fruit fly website, which is... The Facebook one is Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free.
Right, yeah.
And the website is fruitflyfreeyv.com.au. So they can go on either that Facebook social media site or the website, and they can look at pictures of fruit fly, and they can check whether they've caught something that's fruit fly that's in their trap. Then they'll know.
So let's go back one stage, though. How do we get the traps?
You should be able to pick the fruit fly traps up at any good garden centre. You can even order them online.
Can you?
Yep.
So, Fred Nurk, who knows very little about gardening, but I've got two or three fruit trees in my backyard, I'm not going to be able to walk out and look for anything, am I?
No.
I put a trap in, I'm never going to find
out. You really need a trap. Fruit fly are very good at staying out of view because they're birds and... other larger insects and humans are their predators.
Yep.
So putting the fruit fly trap out means it's doing the surveillance while you're doing your gardening and putting your feet up on the couch.
Yep.
But if you check that fruit fly trap about every week or so, put it in a spot that you walk past and then you'll check it more often.
Oh, good point.
And the ones in the box, though, they don't work very well. You actually have to put them up in the tree to make them work.
Oh, do you?
about a metre and a half high, somewhere where you've got an eyesight, put it in amongst the foliage, but still got to have airflow through it.
Yep.
But that foliage just keeps it out of the direct sun.
Yeah.
So fruit fly monitoring is number one.
Yep.
But being aware of fruit fly in your community is another. So if you know that it's down the street,
yep.
If you know that your friend's had it, if you know something, if you hear along the grapevine that someone's had it, I would definitely up the ante and be checking my fruit fly trap more regularly.
All right. So
second one is second one is having a planned garden with small espaliered, well-trained trees. Because you can't.
Well trained.
Yep. Just do as they're told. You can't put a net over a 40-foot apricot tree.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yep.
So, well trained, I mean by you can put them out in a spalier fence or you can keep them small and pruned so that they've got more fruit and less growth.
Yep.
So, you get more fruit that way too.
Yep. All right. So, how apart is that the only way to protect yourself? But we'll say I've got a trap, but I still want to protect myself. So how do I protect myself?
Well, you want to protect the tree, not yourself.
No, well that's what I mean, really. Yeah.
You want to put some fruit fly netting up. So fruit fly netting is 2 mil by 2 mil or smaller.
Yep.
And you often need a structure underneath the netting to keep it off the tree.
Yep.
And that allows for good airflow and good access so you can get in there and pick it.
Yep.
I like to use star pickets and polypipe.
Yep.
Or you could use Rio bar and electrical conduit and make an arch.
Make an arch, yeah.
And then you could slide the plastic-based fruit fly netting over the top of that arch and seal it down the bottom on the ground. And so if you've got nothing in there to start with, you won't get fruit fly in there.
All right.
So do that.
There's no spray that you can get against it?
Well, there is, but is that the way we want a garden? Do we want...
No, because you're going to ruin... Well, not so much ruin your fruit, but that's... Like, you'll kill other things too, won't you?
The cover spray for Queensland fruit fly will kill the good bugs in your garden too.
Yeah, which
so
you,
we're
which
all about
you know.
Insect biodiversity. We're all about using predators that are biological, that'll kill the bad guys.
Yep.
You know, your hoverflies, you want to encourage into your garden. You want to encourage mites that kill other mites. You want to do lots of investing in good bugs so you grow plants that attract your good bugs, but then it comes to once the fruit's finished its flowering, so the pollination's all happened by the insects, then the fruit's set into small golf balls or very tiny green fruit. When it gets to that stage, you put your fruit fly net on and it'll keep the fruit fly out, as well as the other bad insects too.
Right, but All right, I'll just take a quick break because I've got another question, but I'll just take this quick break and I'll be back with more. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 25 minutes to 3, and I should mention to you that Greg Carrick will be along at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. Always a great show, but Greg will be here right on the straight after 3 o'clock news. You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 21 minutes to three. I just waited for the clock to tick over. Also, I should mention I'll be back next Wednesday, of course, with Community Connections. I'm just trying to think who's coming in the first hour. I know it'll be our private investigator, PI Peter, with absolute solutions, absolute facts, and also we'll have the Council Connection show between 2 and 3. So actually another 3 hours next week of great interviews. And I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 with music, memories and more. And I'll be back on Sunday night with a rock and roll hit parade. So we'll have a lot of great music on Sunday, apart from all the other great shows that are on Yarra Valley. But we're talking to Bronwyn. Bronwyn, would the best way of protecting yourself, and we're talking about now the Joe Bloggs who's just got 2 or 3 fruit trees, would the best way to protect yourself would be to pick all that fruit as soon as it's ripe?
Yeah, the Queensland fruit fly actually get into the fruit a little bit before it's ripe.
Oh, right.
So the sacrifice that you make by picking it before the fruit fly gets it is it's probably a bit underripe for you to eat, yep, in most cases.
Yep.
And obviously that could lack some sugar and lack some flavour.
Yep.
So yes, pick your fruit before it falls, definitely.
Yep.
But my preference would be to put the fruit netting on first.
Yep.
And let that fruit ripen properly.
Ripen properly.
Yeah.
The other thing is, which you've just touched on then, if you have got these fruit trees, you should never let them ripen and just rot on the ground, should you?
Big no-no, because the fruit fly life cycle means that that fruit fly egg that's in the fruit,
yep,
that hatches into a larvae. That, yep, larvae grows inside of the fruit and it rots inside, and that larvae eats that rotting fruit, and this is happening while the rest of the fruit is ripening.
Yep.
And then that fruit is ready to fall off the tree.
Yep.
It falls off the tree and thud on the ground. And the larvae inside goes, right, time to get out of here. And within a few seconds, it's crawled out of the fruit.
A few seconds?
Yeah, 10 seconds easily. I've got a video of it, actually. Simulated environment.
Yeah.
Where the larvae then crawls out of the fruit and into the ground. And inside that protected ground space, it could be leaf litter, it could be mulch, it could be some soft dirt.
Right.
That larvae puts itself into a pupa case, and that's where it changes from a larvae to a fly. And right, then once it's mature as a fly inside of its larvae, inside, yep, of its pupa case,
yep,
it'll break open that pupa case just like a butterfly escaping out of a cocoon.
Yep.
It crawls up, it makes itself a pathway through that soil.
Yep.
And then it crawls up to the surface and dries its wings out, and
right,
off it goes again.
So when you say it goes,
stop it getting to the ground.
When you say it comes out the ground, it doesn't actually bury itself in the ground to start with, does it?
It does.
So it's not only under leaves or anything like that. It can actually go into the ground.
Yeah, both.
Gee.
There's even been cases where larvae has put itself in a pupa case in the bottom of a pantry in a basket of quince. So it doesn't have to go underground.
Drown.
It's just safer underground. But it needs to be in that protected, undisturbed, temperature-stable environment.
Yep.
And they do need a little bit of moisture to be able to crack open that pupa case when they're ready.
But when you're saying moisture, you're talking about moisture in the air.
Moisture in the air, moisture in that soil,
yep,
in those cavities in the soil. So
yep,
not a lot, but yep, quite often we see fruit fly detections go up,
yeah,
shortly after rain, because with that rainfall it's softened the dirt and it's allowed the pupa case to break open, and the fruit flies,
yeah,
a lot of them have emerged in, and then shortly after that rainfall we see them show up in traps.
Bronwyn, where you find them on a site, and I'm not talking about a commercial now, because I guess the commercial operators, that they're going to be a lot more on top of it than what Mr. and Mrs. Average is, because that's their livelihood. Where you find them, when you find one, does that normally mean there's only the one there? Or if you've got, we'll come back to me, Joe Bloggs, who's got his 3 fruit trees out the back. if you found one or two there, the chances are, is it just the one or two, or there could be hundreds as well? Well, when you normally find them now.
If I was to find them in the Yarra Valley today and I found one or two,
yep,
my gut instinct would still go back to, where has this come from? Has somebody bought a bag of nectarines from Shepparton, or has somebody bought some infested figs from a South Melbourne market? You know, like, when you've not seen it in a region before and then suddenly you see one or two, it's got to have come from somewhere.
Somewhere, yep.
But if I've seen it in areas where I know there's been a fruit fly in that trap over there, or a fruit fly in that trap 5Ks away, I can probably think, right, well, it could have made its way up that creek line, or it could have backyard hopped, or, yeah. Generally speaking, I will look for more. That's part of our emergency response. We put 6 or 12 traps out, try and find more.
Yep.
More evidence means more knowledge, which means more appropriate action.
All right, so going back to me again, Joe Bloggs with his three little trees. If you found them on my property, like if I put the trap out and I found them, I ring up Bronwyn and I say, hey, Bronwyn, you better come and have a look at this. Would you then go and talk to the neighbours, or is that... Or should I then go and talk to the neighbours and say, hey, listen, I found this?
It all depends on your relationship with those neighbours. If you're having a hard time talking to your neighbour, it's surprising how many people do. That's a role that I can take. Or I can put a public notice out, or we can do letterbox drops so that it's everyone. Because it won't just be your neighbour.
No, it's going to be
It could be the whole street. It could be the whole neighbourhood.
Yep.
So usually... a letter, which the council actually has volunteered to do on many occasions in the Yarra Valley. I've let them know there's a fruit fly here, and I don't let the public know that, because we don't want to pinpoint anyone.
Yep.
But the council will then discreetly send anywhere up to 1,000 letters, just depending on the density of the housing or the properties in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a costly exercise, and it's very much appreciated, and that's actually how we uncovered the problems in Lilydale. Because we found one problem, and by the time we sent the letter out and did some social media and did put some stuff in the newspaper, we found 3 or 4 more sites in Lilydale that, I didn't know that was a problem until I read about it in the letter that you sent me. So that's how we let people know. We don't dob on anyone, we don't identify anyone, and we don't make you take your fruit trees out.
Yep.
We just help you with the tools that you need to manage it so that you get a good crop next year.
Yep.
We're here to help. We're not going to take them out.
Bronwyn, which I know that you're responsible for the Yarra Valley, is there any part in Victoria that it would be safe, or is there any other part in Victoria where it's really running rampant?
So along the Murray River, it's pretty bad, because that's coming down from New South Wales. They can't stop the fruit fly jumping the river.
Yep.
Northern Victoria above the Great Divide, so everything from Wangaratta to Shepparton right through to Mildura. It's even in Donald. Like, that Northern Victoria, it's just got that extra warmth, that shorter winter, lots of irrigation, and they've had problems up there. But there's a fruit fly coordinator in Mildura.
Right.
And they do that Sunraysia area. There's lots of commercial fruit production up there that they work with to protect them.
Yep.
And there's another guy in Shepparton and Cobram working together up there. Again, protecting that commercial horticulture, but working with residential gardeners as well.
Terrific.
It's in Melbourne, though.
Sorry?
Fruit flies in Melbourne, though.
Is it in Melbourne itself?
Yeah. But we don't have a coordinator in Melbourne.
Don't you? Well, I guess there wouldn't be as many there, would there, because of the... I mean, a lot of houses don't have fruit trees.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Would you?
You'd be surprised. I get more calls from people in Melbourne than I do the Yarra Valley.
You've prompted a good question there. Is there enough recognition in the Yarra Valley that people saying, well, I better look for it? Or do you think a lot of people just go with their head in the sand and don't bother doing about it?
I think we're still learning. We're still on that learning curve of, this is a problem, I need to know what to look for.
Yep.
I think lots of people would know to look for coddling moth or something that's a bit more prevalent and been with us for a lot longer.
Yep.
There are still some people that are yet to learn about fruit fly because they're yet to experience it. I hope they don't experience it. But human nature, most of us have got to experience something before we do something about it.
All right, we're fast running out of time, unfortunately. Bronwyn, can you give us the website and all that and give it to us a couple of times so people can write them down?
Yeah,
any phone numbers,
grab
please.
Your pens. It's fruitflyfreeyv.com.au. And our Facebook site is Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free.
Yeah.
And if anyone has a picture or a question that they want to text me, they can text me on 0490 381 999. So that's fruitflyfreeyv.com.au.
.au, yep.
Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly Free on Facebook. And 0490 381 999. So you can always text me a photo. I would much rather text you back and go, that's not a fruit fly.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet you
would
too.
Than have to deal with a fruit fly.
Bronwyn, is it just you that does all this work? Do you have any volunteers helping you?
I have some volunteers, and they are the people that have done some training with me.
Yep.
There's a lot of Yarra Valley Community Gardens that have participated in this training.
Yep.
So they have skilled people now that can point you in the right direction.
Yep.
And there are some fruit grower groups, and there's also some of the nurseries around here. The small local nurseries have also done some training.
Yep.
And they're the ones that stock the products that you need to do it. So I'd go to a local nursery.
So are you always looking for extra volunteers?
Always. So I'll be finished in next winter. No more of me, but
that's
there will
no
be.
Good.
We'll try and keep the website going.
Yep.
We will also try and keep the phone number alive, but that's pending.
Yep.
And we are after community groups to take these messages on.
Yep.
There's some books and some e-learning packages that you can grab, and you can teach your community group, or your family, or your staff. There's all those resources available.
Where are they going to get those resources?
They can get that from our website, which that keep. Sorry, not Keep Yarra Valley Fruit Fly
Free. Fruit Fly Free.
Fruitflyfreeyv.com, or they can go to the Agribusiness Yarra Valley website.
Right. So you're not going to be there. So, but someone's still got to drive this program. So you're asking for people to come forward and drive this program.
Need some
they?
Drivers. We've got the resources.
Yep.
We've got the support there. We're going to need some drivers.
Yeah, because the last thing we want is for this to get out. And, I mean, it'd devastate. I know we've talked a lot about Fred Bloggs and his backyard three trees, but, I mean, we're talking about some big commercial enterprises here too, aren't we?
I think everyone's got something to lose, and we've got to really work on our local food production as a contributor to Victoria's food security.
Yeah.
We've got to know how to grow it at home.
Well, pardon me, we need food. There's a few things we've got to have. We've got to have food, we've got to have water. Without that,
it's fresh, it's local, it's low carbon, hasn't driven a mile or hasn't been flown in.
No.
The fresh is best.
Bronwyn, look, it's been great having you along. We'll still talk to you because you're probably the most knowledgeable person I've ever met on fruit fly, and it really is a tragedy that you won't be there, but I guess we've got to try and get people to start to really get behind the fruit fly and
get in front of it. Don't get behind it.
Yeah,
get in
true.
Front of it.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Bronwyn, I wish you well.
Thank
what
you.
Are you going to do with yourself with all your spare time?
I'd actually like to stay in the agriculture world. I'd like to look at biodiversity in insects and plants and look at how we can grow things more profitably and more productively with less chemicals, if we can.
Well, I think we should be able to, surely.
Well, let's give it a crack.
Bronwyn, it's been a pleasure. We will talk to you again next year because I couldn't get a better expert on the fruit fly. I'm talking about Joe Bloggs in his backyard, but it really is a very, very serious little critter, isn't it?
Yep.
If
you pick that fruit and use it, that's the best thing you can do.
And I guess your parting word's got to be don't let it stay on the floor.
Don't let it fall to the ground. That's right.
Thanks, Bronwyn. Bye.